You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast. We are excited to be back with you. I'm Liam, joined as always by Sean. Sean, thanks for being back on the podcast.
What's up, Liam? I've missed you very much.
Yeah, it was weird being on the episode last month completely by myself. So you guys will not just have to hear my voice this entire time, although I'll have a little bit of a soapbox moment at the beginning. But we also have Jeremy Wynn with us today. Jeremy, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to share a few quick announcements before we get into why we have Jeremy here and what we're going to be talking about for today's episode, but wanted to remind those of you who were at our breakfast, and for any of the guys that missed the breakfast, that we're going to be having a virtual golf event on Saturday, February 17th. It's going to be a great morning from 9 to noon for guys to get together at 8 Iron Therapy, play a little golf, maybe even do their shooting range that's in the middle lane, have some coffee, eat some donuts, and just be encouraged by time together with some brothers. So would love to see you there, but space is extremely limited. So if you're interested, I'm going to have a link sent out in the monthly email that you get before you meet with your guys. Take a look at that. Sign up for the event. If you have any questions, send me an email, lweingartner@fbctopeka.com. I also just wanted to say a quick thank you to every guy who came to the breakfast earlier this month. It was just a great turnout. My heart was so encouraged by the amount of you who showed up to that, especially with how terrible the weather was that day. It was brutally cold, and Randy just warmed us all up with great coffee, good food. I mean, I ate a ton of biscuits and gravy. I don't know about you guys, but it was good stuff.
I did my best. Yeah.
So, and I'm just really appreciative to have a group of guys and a group of leaders and volunteers who would pour out so much to make something like that happen. So special thank you to everybody who came and served and guys who showed up to make the most of that time.
Yeah. And if I could just jump in real quick on that, I just encourage all of us just to continue to dive into those conversations that we, just the random people that we met at that breakfast. If you see somebody on Saturday night or Sunday, just continue those conversations, continue that fellowship. That's what we're all searching for. That's why the reason those events exist is to, you know, kind of organically create relationships. I know there's a couple guys at our table that they knew each other, but they had no idea they went to FBC, and it was just God's working in those relationships. And I just encourage you guys, whether you see us on Sundays or Saturdays or Friday mornings, Thursday nights, whatever it is, just say hi, shake hands, and let that friendship and that relationship continue to grow, and let God work under that. So I was just super excited about the turnout that we had. We had almost close to 100 people or so under that. So it was awesome.
And there were a few really cool conversations that came out of that led to invitations to the Awake study. Mm-hmm. I think that you had some of that. I know a couple other guys had some of those things happen where they met new guys and then invited them to Awake, and they showed up this past week when we kicked off the Awake study. So I'm just excited about the new year and all the opportunities that we have for men to dig into relationship with one another. As always, I just want to remind you, if you're looking for a weekly opportunity to plug in with other men, our Thursday evening and Friday prayer groups are meeting every week. So come and join us on the Fireside Room Thursday night at 7:30 and Friday morning at 6 a.m. A great time to fellowship with other brothers and pray over each other's needs, but also the church as a whole. As Joe often says, prayer is the most we can do. So getting together to do just that is one of the best ways we can spend our time together. So all of that's out of the way. Let's dive into our topic that we're going to be talking about. I want to do a quick refresh of where we began at the beginning of 2024. And each month of this year, we're going to be taking a closer look at who God has called us to be as men and how we live out that calling in our families and our work in this church family and in our larger community. So why do we think having this conversation is important? Because in order for us to really get a grasp and understand our intended destination, we really first have to understand who we have been created to be, who God has intended us to be. So we can really think of this in some ways as a prequel to what Joe is covering in our Awake study this session, because we're looking at discipline in our speech, in our faith, in our love, in our purity, and having that end destination in mind where we are living a life of discipline and obedience to the Lord. So that motivation, as we understood from Joe's teaching as well, is best motivated when it flows out of who we are, flows out of our identity. So that's why we're going to spend so much of our time talking about this topic of who we are as men. So quick refresher from last month, who we are is spiritual and physical beings made in the image of God. Put even more simply, we are God's sons. We were made by him. We were made for him. Where we are, we have been placed in specific locations. We've been placed in homes, neighborhoods, cities, workplaces with opportunities and influence for the kingdom of God. These are what we are understanding as our quote-unquote garden. And Jeremy, if you want to hold up that book to the camera really quick, for those of you who are watching the podcast, a lot of this material is coming from a book that our men's leadership team has been reading called The Masculine Mandate. So if you are not watching the podcast, but you're listening to the podcast, check out The Masculine Mandate. It's been a great resource for us to really just have some deeper conversations, but that's where the idea of our garden comes from. So what is it that we do in the gardens that we've been placed in? We as men lead and we serve. And how do we do this? By working and keeping. This is drawn all out of Genesis chapter 2, going back to the garden to understand what we have been created to do. It flows out of who we are, that God has created us as his children, as image bearers, to work and to keep, to lead and serve wherever God has placed us as his sons by building up and then nurturing, protecting, and fostering the growth of what has been built. So that's where we were. That's where we started, just kind of getting a high-level overview of the things that we're going to be covering over the next year. And so, Sean, where are we going today?
Yeah, no. So we've invited Jeremy on this month to discuss a few different aspects of last month's material. To hopefully draw out a little bit more of who we are called to be as men and what it looks like when men are living out their calling in their gardens. So some of the guys may know you, Jeremy. Yep. Other guys may not know you as well. So elevator pitch on kind of who you are.
Let me sell you on who I am.
Just tell how long you've been at FBC. Tell us about Paige and the kids, just a little bit. That way they know you're speaking from, you know, a little bit of experience.
Okay. Let's see. So how long have you been at FBC? I guess since its existence. Yeah. So 28 years now, I think. So I was a little six-year-old little man when Fellowship was launched. And so I grew up here. But I've been on staff 10 years. Did you know that? You look surprised.
No, I didn't know that since the beginning. I had no idea you'd
My dad was one of the founding elders. Okay. And so we were at Topeka Bible Church, and then we're part of the church plant. Dang. So I was sad when we left Topeka Bible Church. I loved being there. I had friends, all that stuff. But God had something new and different, and through some faithful and committed families, God's continued to entrust and grow more what God's doing here. Yeah. But I've been on staff for 10 years, and then I'm about to celebrate my 10-year wedding anniversary in April.
Wow.
I know.
A lot of 10s.
Excited about that. Yeah. I mean, we basically, you know, started my job and then, you know,
got married. Married. Yeah, nice. You know,
let's just do everything at once. bought a house, all this stuff. And then we've got two kids right now. We've got Judah, who's 4.5, and then Lydia, who's 20 months now.
Nice, yeah.
And they're just a gift and a joy. They're a lot of energy, mm-hmm. as I think both of you can attest to. Mm-hmm. Sean, I think when we were purchasing a car and you were helping us with that, I think you got to ride in a car with Judah for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what this is like 24/7 to be his parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More credibility to you for dealing with Judah. He's awesome after that. So he's energy and full of love.
Sweet, kind, but it takes a lot of energy to be his parent. As it took lots of energy for my parents to be my parent. And then my current role at Fellowship, I'm the outreach and discipleship team lead. So I get to oversee all the local global outreach and then all the discipleship stuff. One of the things being the men's ministry.
Yep.
So I'm not as involved in all the things that you guys are in, and I'm kind of sad and jealous of that, but I get to be a part of some of the leadership team things, mm-hmm. and vision stuff, and then I'm going to be going on the elder team that next month, so I help also with some of that kind of advocacy and alignment, mm-hmm. between the leadership team and men's ministry.
Yeah.
So as your leadership team has vision, ideas, things you guys want to do in the church, then I'm kind of your voice at some of those tables to help make sure that gets integrated into our church life.
Yeah. So basically, all that to say, Jeremy is my boss. So if you have any problems with anything that I do or say, you know who to go to
there
now.
We go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we've been wanting to have Jeremy on for a while. I mean, he could have spoke on a numerous amount of topics that, mm-hmm. we've talked about in the past, you know, 24 months or so, or, you know, a good friend of ours and a lot of you guys that know Jeremy.
We're neighbors.
We are neighbors, too.
Yeah. So we'll go on walks every once in a while. And yeah. Like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Just so some people are not next door neighbors, but I'm in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest things is just that you you are an example of how to be loving with anybody and everybody, your kids, your wife. You set an example. So mm-hmm. it just naturally made sense as we look for these masculine qualities that while you probably aren't going to lift the heaviest weights, that I personally think you're a bit of as masculine as possible in the way
lift
that you
heavier weights than probably both of us.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. I mean, I looked at his biceps as I said, yeah, right. That, so
post kids, man, you'd work out less once you have kids.
But dad's so. Strength grows.
That's
too.
True. Dad's strength grows.
Yeah. Less. So, but yeah, I guess just transitioning into a couple of our questions that way, we've probably lost 50% of our audience now, but, now I just guess my first question as we dive in a little bit is that, in our culture, it's fairly common expectation for men to be strong and silent. And I guess my question is, what is wrong with a man being emotionally distant in your mind?
Yeah, so when a man's emotionally distant, which I find that is easy, right? Like that, I feel like that can be where I can tend to drift to if I'm not being intentional. Really what that comes down to is there's a lack of vulnerability there. And when you have a lack of vulnerability as a man or even anybody, you're going to limit the depth of relationships that you're able to have with people. People won't trust you to the same level. People won't feel the same level of connection with you. They won't feel that same level of care and love and kindness. And so if you either don't know how to or you don't have the capacity to be able to lean in and be vulnerable, you're going to limit your depth of relationships and ultimately you're going to limit your joy. And so, you know, as men, we need to continue to really lean in and cultivate and develop how do we increase our level of vulnerability. And so for me in my story, you know, I shared a little bit about my dad. He was like a founding elder, all this kind of stuff. But he never had modeled for him what does it look like to be vulnerable and how'd you word it? And he never was modeled what does it look like to be emotionally intentional or really cultivate your heart. So he never had that modeled for him. And then he also, when I was in through my high school years, my mom had stage 4 cancer and my dad had a severe car accident. So through all those formative years, they were helping take care of each other. Mm-hmm. And so for both of those things, there was a gap in my life where I think my dad wasn't as emotionally present as he would want to be. Either because he never had it modeled or through some of those formative years, he was sick and really struggling. And so, you know, in the midst of that, when you don't have some of that presence, I think there was some gaps in me that I've had to grow in of how do I be vulnerable with people? How do I expand my my crayon box of emotions? Mm. So, you know, you've got these crayons, right? They have all these different shades of colors and some are like 128 count, 64 count, 32 count, 16. I felt like there were points in my life where I like my crayon box of emotions like 8 colors.
Okay? You got the little restaurant box that they give to kids.
Yeah, maybe it was like 3 or 4 colors. It's right. Like I'm frustrated, I'm mad, I'm happy, you know, maybe sad every once in a while, you know, mm-hmm. like, but just limited of being able to identify how do I feel in things? And then also being able to identify how other people feel with things. Mm-hmm. And so through that, I've had to really grow and develop in that. And so obviously time in the Word is huge. Like as you hear and see God's heart and the scope of God's emotions, and then even people in the Bible and their range of emotions. I think it can be easy for me to read the Psalms and be like, why is David just like whining and complaining mm-hmm. and crying and all this stuff? And to kind of minimize like a man after God's own heart. And so whether it's David or maybe other characters, like how do you lean in and like I really be like, I see why, like when there's sin in the world or there's things that's going on in their life, like why they have this depth of emotion. And so I want to grow in that. Jesus had depth of emotion. I mean, mm-hmm. everything from crying to, I mean, he anger. I mean, he got angry out of righteous anger. I mean, we see healthy emotion with him and he identified with other people's emotion. Mm-hmm. But my wife has been an incredible blessing to help grow me in vulnerability and emotion. I mean, good friends in my life, my father-in-law, JT, who I'll talk more about in a second, and then also counseling as well. Mm-hmm. And so through some hard work, because I've just had some of that gap from, you know, someone that, from either my father or other people that were just a little more emotionally distant, I've had to really give energy work to that, mm-hmm. so that I can lean in and be vulnerable and model what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I'm still on that journey. I'm definitely not there, but I think the more I've leaned into that, the more I felt the joy, the blessings, the opportunities for deepening of relationships, mm-hmm. building of trust with other people. And I think as men, and I mean, I'll speak for myself, like I long for that. And so if that's what I long for, I've got to be willing to do what it takes to mm-hmm. get there and not shortcut it or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it takes a lot of strength to endure through that process. You know, whether you've had really positive experiences in male role models that have taught you what it looks like to be emotionally engaged, in tune with your own heart, but then also how to share those in good ways and reflect them in positive ways and uplifting and edifying is the word I'm looking for. But for those of us who haven't had it, and you kind of shared a little bit more about that, it's like, yeah, it takes a lot of strength to endure through that process of learning and looking for and then implementing and kind of integrating that, those new colors, like you said, yeah. into your
maybe your crayon for some box. It's strength. For me, I would say it takes patience.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, but yep. yeah, sure.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm kind of just sitting here listening, just thinking about, you know, the men that, you know, that identify with where I'm at. And it's just like, I struggled, you know, still to this day with, you know, emotions or vulnerability. I like to still, when I come in the door, you know, any kind of fears or worries that I have, the last place I want to put them is onto my wife, right? It's just like, she, you know, had her own set of worries today. Let me just bear these onto that. And I found that it does more harm than good onto that. It's bottling. It's just kind of waiting for the, you know, that bottle to spill over and say, okay, now this is how I'm feeling. And I'm just telling you, man, it is not the way to go about things under that. It just creates a kind of an emotional imbalance in the household mm-hmm. when I'll come to my wife with this vulnerability, you know, cause it's major, but maybe not these smaller vulnerabilities. And I've kind of just found that these smaller kind of things that I'm, whether it's finances or, time spent together this week or a busy schedule coming up, those fears, if I don't voice them, they just become my own, kind of big negesis kind of thing inside my own head. So,
and our spouses, they want to help us. They mm-hmm. want to be a blessing. Yeah. And also my wife, and I mean, probably friends and stuff like that too. They know more if I'm not careful, they'll know what's going on and where my emotional state is more than I will. Mm. And so it'll just drive my wife nuts when she's like, I know something is wrong and something mm-hmm. is bothering me. Like, we need to talk about this. And it's not even something out of her, like being selfish. Like, she genuinely wants to love me and know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I've talked about, it's been good to grow and be like, okay, I'm angry or frustrated about this thing. What am I actually afraid of? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm afraid of this thing. Here's what's going on. Okay. Here's what's actually happening. Yeah. You know? So for some people just may be like, yeah, here's my emotion. Here's what's at. For me, it's kind of, I have to do like a process to kind of get to what is the root of what's actually going on.
Right.
And so then how can I do the heart work to navigate through that root fear or emotion or insecurity or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think too, one potential pitfall of maintaining the strong, silent or emotionally distant type of manhood is that our kids won't see how to process emotion well unless they see it modeled. Yeah. Like, we can teach them all day. It's like, hey, when you're mad, do this. But then when they see us mad and we don't do anything about it or we don't handle it well, they're going to probably do more of what we do rather than what we say. So I think the more we're able to understand our emotional state and then process it well live with our spouses, with our kids, even there seeing it, whether we do it poorly or whether we do it well, it's like there's opportunities for teaching and discipleship in those environments.
This is kind of a silly and simple little thing about with parenting. Mm-hmm. So Judah, he's working on understanding his own emotions, but he's actually really good at identifying other people's emotions. I mean, it really is a gift, and I'm excited to see as he grows up. I think he's going to be very relational, very mm-hmm. in tune to just people and where they're at. And so there are times where he'll say, Daddy, why are you angry right now? And I'm not yelling or screaming at him, but I am just kind of a little tense, you know? And I'll be like, Judah, I try my best to like verbalize whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know? And then what we've taught him to do is to count, is to like go, like blow when you count your fingers and stuff. And so we do the exercise together. So he, at a four-year-old level, we model how do we navigate through anger. And then as he gets older, it won't be that anymore. Mm-hmm. It'll be, you know, other things. But yeah.
That's really cool. And I just want to share one quick resource too. That's something that has been really beneficial for me in the topic of learning how to navigate emotions well is the book Untangling Emotions by Alistair Groves. Highly, highly recommend it. It's something that's well worth your time to understand and identify your own emotions, to examine them, and then to process them well with the Lord. So he's writing from a Christian perspective. He's a Christian counselor. It's just great, great book on learning what it looks like to navigate your own emotions and the emotions of others. So,
now for sure, it kind of made me just talking made me think about how we're talking about speaking into to other men, or how we can kind of learn to have this sense of vulnerability. And my question for you, Jeremy, then would be: is how have you benefited from another man's heart kind of cultivating ministry to you, or lack thereof, kind of in different seasons of life?
Oh my goodness, like. One of the things I do here at the church is I do a mentor training. And so within this, I literally have a picture of all the different people that have invested in my life. And I'm so thankful that I have a full slide of all these faces and pictures and names and relationships. And my prayer is that other people have that as well. And so when we look at how we benefited from this, what do you say, the heart cultivating ministry to me, when my dad was in his car accident and he, you know, was up at KU Med and recovering all this stuff. I remember crying one time, and it was when Dave Clausen came over. He was my small group leader here at the church. I was a junior in high school. And so he was the leader at the time. I just remember he just drove over to my house just to check in on me. And he just gave me a hug and just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I remember just breaking down and crying because I felt like, he was a safe space that I was able to just share where I was at and how I was doing. I didn't need to be that tough, strong, just move forward to the next thing in that moment. And so he had modeled what does it look like to be vulnerable, share his heart, share his struggles from past and present. And so he had always just invited that safe space to share your heart. And so when the moment came that I really needed that, I felt safe in that moment, and I was to share and, you know, share my fears and concerns and overwhelm and all this kind of stuff. And he was able just to sit there with me and pray with me. And then he was my leader throughout the rest of high school. And even though maybe I didn't cry with him again in that moment, I could always go to him and know that he was going to help me navigate through that season with my dad, but even other things as you're in high school and navigating through stuff. And then as I started into ministry stuff, Clark Johnson was another key, individual in my life. He is wired very differently than me. I am type A. He's total type B, but the relationship worked so really well. And he would just focus on my heart and how my relationship with Jesus was doing. And as I was going through just a challenging season of ministry, he really just kept me grounded on one, don't listen to the press, like whether people are singing your praises or whether people are saying, you know, other negative things about you, like, how are you listening to Jesus? How are you working for the Lord, not for man? And then just helping me just navigate through all this stuff, and not in a problem-solving way, because that's how my mind might think, but in a very much just like a spiritual heart way. He passed away several years ago, and so I'm thankful that he's with the Lord, but there's a loss there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we all have seasons with mentors, father figures, that type of thing, and that season ended just because the Lord was ready to take him up. Mm-hmm. But more recently, my father-in-law, JT, has really filled in this space. And he is a servant. He loves Jesus. He loves other people so well. And he does much more just wear his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, he cries often, but he cries about the right things. Mm. He cries about when he's talking about relationships and people he loves, when he sees transformation in people's lives, mm-hmm. when he sees people following Jesus, or when he sees people not following Jesus, like his heart is gripped by the things that grips God's heart. And so I remember just at first when I got married to Paige and their family, I'm like, why is he crying all the time? Like, why is he emotional? Like, What's happening? It wasn't that I was like, I thought less of him. It was just like a question. Like, yeah. I don't understand. But man, the more I've gone through kind of my own journey and the more I've spent time with him, the more I'm just like, man, I respect, value, trust who you are because mm-hmm. your heart is in alignment for where God's heart is. And so, I mean, those are just some of many of the relationships I'm so thankful that God has allowed to be put in my life and help fill in gaps where maybe there were gaps in my life, my own spiritual journey.
Yeah, there's a quote in the book, Masculine Mandate, where he talks about kind of the work of men is working in the soil of human hearts. Mm-hmm. And this mm-hmm. image of being gardeners is carried through even a lot of the New Testament parables. Like the farmer picture is so prevalent in Jesus's parables. And even as you're talking about these guys who've been mentors in your life, it's like they've epitomized that. Yes. Your lives intersected. You were one of the people that was in their garden, quote unquote. And so they saw it as their responsibility to care for you, to cultivate you, to build you up and to nurture you. And it sounded like that was a real blessing to have that in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. When you have that, like you always want it. You never want to go without it. And then you want to pass that on to other guys as well when you've experienced that. So, man, that's just so cool.
If there's you know, a man that's listening to this podcast and they're saying, okay, I'm starting to kind of process this and mm-hmm. I do think I might have some gaps in my story and maybe even where I'm at right now when it comes to, you know, cultivating my heart and being able to not be socially or emotionally distanced, but I don't have those people in my life. Mm-hmm. What's a next step you can encourage people of how to find that person?
Excellent question. So two things. One weekly.
I thought you would at least have to like think about it.
No. I got
two things.
I'm ready to go. I love that you queued me up for this. So one, if you're looking for just a right away, I need to be around a group of guys, that an intergenerational group, I would again go back to the prayer group.
Yeah.
That has been a weekly opportunity for me to be mentored through the relationships of prayer that I've built in those environments. And it's a very organic kind of cultivation because I'm watching these guys as they're sharing prayer requests that are on their heart, as they're praying for one another, as they're encouraging one another, providing for one another's needs. I am blessed merely by their presence and seeing the way they live life together. So that's one way. The other way is a little bit more formal, and it's to go onto our website. We've got two applications on the website that guys can go to the men's ministry page and fill out an application to be mentored by somebody. Or if you feel like, man, God has really worked in my heart, I have been blessed by the heart cultivating ministry of other men, I want to pass that on. We have opportunities for guys who want to be mentors as well. So I would say, guys, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, that's something that I need in my life, go to the men's ministry page on the website, click on the mentee application, fill it out, and you and I can get together and we'll talk about what it looks like to partner you up with someone who can navigate through that stage of life. So yeah, that's great.
And the only other thing I would add to, I think those are two great next steps is, you know, if you really feel like you have a gap and you want someone that can model this for you, pray that God's going to bring that person along your path and then have the courage to ask that person, hey, would you spend some time with me?
Mm-hmm.
And the ask doesn't need to be overwhelming. It doesn't be like for all of time and I need you to train me in theology and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But hey, I really want my heart to be cultivated. I just need someone that's going to check in on my heart, help point me to Jesus. Would you meet with me for four times? And then we'll just see where the relationship's at. You know,
that's
so
great.
Take that courage to look for those people around you, pray that God provides that person, and then to ask them to be part of your journey.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just kind of thinking, honestly, I put myself in these guys' shoes, and I know I'm not as far along as you guys are in your walks, but I'm walking right along with you guys. And it makes me think that when I chose vulnerability, I feel like the first person I chose vulnerability with was myself onto that. I think mm-hmm. it was the kind of strong, silent type made me think that I couldn't even be vulnerable with myself. I didn't want to admit my issues. I didn't want to admit my longing, my emptiness. There was a lot of it. So I really think that it's a total heart check. And even yesterday in Awake, yesterday's study, Joe kind of talked about these three circles that were like identity, disciplines, and outcomes, mm-hmm. and how you know, a lot of people operate from like the outside in, saying the outcome affects the discipline, which affects my identity, mm-hmm. which was me for a long time. It's my outcome of failing again or not providing or whatever it was in that year 14 to year 32 now. A lot of it was outcome based, affects my discipline, and that's who I am. Oh, I messed up here, or oh, I'm here, instead of what Joe was talking about yesterday, was let go inside out, let the identity of being a son of God affect your discipline, and let those disciplines then affect God's outcome. So we can kind of start to move from the inside out, the way that, you know, being emotionally vulnerable, Jesus lets us and God lets us, then you can really start to see these people that get placed in your life that God is already working, designing. They will be there. Just, you know, sometimes it's not a same day service kind of deal.
Yeah. So let's take that and think about this idea too, like where Genesis 2 paints that picture of us being as men, these guardian protectors, these servant leaders of everything that God has placed under our care. Like that's the identity piece. So starting in the middle, this is who we are, image bearers of God, commissioned to work and keep. So, Jeremy, when you think about the garden that God has given you, that all of those fears, your family, your work, your neighbors, what are some of those threats or to the people or the things that are under your care? And then, like, how are you thinking about your calling to keep them safe or flourishing? What disciplines do you set in place to get to that ultimate outcome of their safety, flourishing, and also their just the glory to God?
Yeah, I feel like I'll get the ball rolling on this question because I think there's a lot there. You know, I think we just naturally have a lot of insecurity within us, and a lot of our insecurity and then kind of idolatry, like things outside of Jesus that we want to focus on, it all stems from like we forget who we are in Christ. And so if I forget that I'm fully known, I'm fully loved by Christ, then I'm going to not want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. If I forget that, you know, who I am is more important than what I do, then I'm going to try to achieve and perform and do what it takes to be able to get approval from other people. Yep. And so I think I love how God has uniquely wired every single person, placed them in unique places, given them unique purposes, passions, all these types of things. And so like with my wife, I want to understand like, yes, she's a child of God, but also like how has God uniquely wired her, and how can I continue to affirm her in how God has made her, wired her, called her, and point her to Christ? And so I don't mean to pick on my wife at all because I have so much that I could pick on myself, but my wife is more of a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And so if at the end of the day, she's overwhelmed and frustrated because she spent all this time with the kids and yet the house is still a mess, like, or she wasn't able to make dinner that night because just a lot happened. Like, not only showing her grace, but also just reminding her, like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, this doesn't define you that you weren't able to make dinner tonight. Mm. This doesn't define you that you weren't able to keep a clean house all the time. Mm-hmm. What's most important is that we're investing a relationship with Jesus, that we're investing a relationship with our kids. And yes, we're being good stewards of what God, you know, has given us. And so continue reminding her. And then she does the exact same with me because it's definitely not a one way. It's
right.
It's a two way on things. And then with my kids, I'm in the caregiver season right now. So, some threats can be just like sinful behavior, disobedience. I don't know. So being consistent with my discipline, but always having it be out of love and not out of like reactionary or anger, but making sure they understand here's why you were disciplined and following through on that and then reconciling the relationship afterwards.
Yeah.
Make sure they know that we're still okay, but that, what the action you did wasn't okay. Mm-hmm. And then continuing to, because they may not fully understand right now who they are. Mm-hmm. So speaking that into them. So when Jude and I play and wrestle, it's always like, man, you are strong and you're brave and you're tough. Mm-hmm. And so he'll say like, Dad, you and I, we're best friends and we're strong. Oops, sorry. We're brave. We're tough. Show me your muscles. I'm like, man, that's right. And then also, you know, reinforce that, man, you are so kind. You are so fun. You are so caring. And so, yes, I need to cultivate his heart and discipline and when he's outside of the lines, but be really intentional to point out when I see him at his best and who he really is as he's doing that with anything that he's doing. So really trying to affirm it and then, you know, sharing what God's word says in scripture and tying that to who he is and then what I see in him and that type of a thing. So
And
Lydia too.
She's a little more time.
She's just beautiful, and I just love her. I just want to give her kisses on her cheek all the time.
Yeah, but it totally makes sense how if you don't start on that core of identity of who God has made you to be, that you are His child, you are beloved, you are known and fully loved, that we wouldn't be able to respond in the right ways to our wives or to our children, or we might be able to keep that up for a little while, but then you come home for the 10th or 11th time and the house is a wreck or the thing that you asked her to do isn't done, and then you blow up and stuff like that. Sure. So unless we have that rooting and grounding in the love of God for us, that's what sources us to pour that out into the lives of our wives and our kids as well. So I like that. Your picture just really conveyed that.
Mm-hmm. And then really, the number one place that we spend most of our time is at our work.
Yeah.
I really do want to be intentional with this in work as well. Mm-hmm. And so with the people that I oversee, I want to not only understand what their gifts, their passions are, like all those types of things, but I also understand, like, what is God potentially calling them to down the road? Mm-hmm. And so in what they're doing now, how do I continue to invite them into a grander vision or living into their purpose? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you're going to counseling school, mm-hmm. and you're like, I just think I'm really good at this, I want to think about, how do I give Liam opportunities to be able to do that? I can't totally shift your job description.
Sure.
But how can I encourage that, affirm mm-hmm. that, like, give you opportunities? And, you know, Brody's totally different, right? Like, so he's got other things that he's wanting to get, you know, grow in and be mm-hmm. developed in and stuff. And so how do I meet people where they're at? And yes, we've got things that we need to do here, but how do I allow that to intersect with maybe where God may calling them to, and not be like afraid of like, man, Leah may like go somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. how do I celebrate cultivating an environment where, man, people are being developed and cultivated that they can be sent out to maybe the next place they're being called into. Yeah. And so, I want to be really intentional with this mindset at work as well as at home.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. I think it's important for us to keep in mind too. And my mind is continually drawn back to one of the things that Paul says in his letters. That's, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but yep. God gives the growth.
That's right.
So this heart cultivating ministry that we're called to, this working in the soil of human hearts and the other brothers that are around us, it is not completely dependent on our effort or will to produce fruit in the lives of people that we're ministering to. Yep. It is up to God.
Yep.
But we have this calling to work and keep the ground in all of these environments that God has put us in.
That's right.
So faithfully plant, faithfully water, and entrust God with the growth in all of those spaces. Yeah, so, any final thoughts or questions that you guys want to chat about on this topic?
No, I just enjoy hanging out.
I
do too. I did have this one thought though, as you're speaking.
I just have this one. Thought.
Or is it? Yeah. It's not anything crazy. It's honestly a plug more than anything, is what, because you had mentioned about in the workspace, you know, and we just before we started recording, you mentioned that you just got done filming the Deeper podcast with Justin Armbruster and Rick Take.
Yeah.
So I encourage you guys. I know we've got some faithful listeners on here, mm-hmm. Spotify. Or
iTunes.
Yep. There's the FBC Deeper podcast that there's always so much good knowledge on there, too.
And the heart behind that is that podcast aligns with what's shared on the weekend, which aligns with their daily devotional. So you have the daily devotional where you're in the Word on your own and you're listening to God. You have the sermon where you're getting it towards you. And then the Deeper podcast is hearing other people process it. Mm-hmm. So then in your community group or other people that you're, your spouse, whatever, you're able to really process, okay, I've read this, I've heard this, like, how does this apply in my life? Mm-hmm. And so then we can start, you know, seeing transformation, that type of a thing. So that's what the Deeper podcast is all about.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for spending the time processing these questions with us and really just helping us dig a little bit deeper into what our calling is as men and all of the good and beautiful things that God has in store for us when we live out of that calling. So, guys, be on the lookout for our email that gives you the questions to process through with your group. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Awake Podcast.
Yeah.